Okay. God is so good, isn't he? So nice to just be able to gather in his presence. So we're looking at doing a new series on what it means for us to be the church, the people of God. And I think by looking at our history and those who've gone before us, you know, being led by the same spirit that led them and reading from the same book that they were inspired by, I think we can learn a lot about who we are as people and where we're going. And so to start with, I just want to look at this morning is what does it mean to be gathered? You know, what brings us together? You know, why are you here this morning? You don't know, you just turned up. Okay, I have to be here. Okay. You know, life can be hard sometimes. You know, it can be a real struggle. And as we know, being a Christian doesn't exempt us from this struggle. But hopefully over the next few weeks, we'll look at some of those who fought the good fight of faith and overcome. Because I know for myself, you know, there's a lot of hope to be found in the testimony of those who've gone before. And an encouragement that as God has carried them through stuff, and we hear about what, you know, their journey with God, and we can realize that God will also be faithful and carry us through stuff as well. And we look at the name that God chose to be the name for his people. In the Old Testament, you know, he didn't name them, the people of God weren't called Abraham. They weren't called Isaac. They weren't even called Jacob. He called them after Jacob's new name. The name he gave them to signify this the struggle that Jacob had with both man and God and the result of his struggle that he overcame. So the people of God were named Israel, which means triumphant with God or prevails with God. And for centuries, the people of God were known by this name. And I think they really lived up to that. And when God sent his son, they named him Jesus, which means God saves. And it's a name that Jesus gave new meaning to when he died for the sins of the world and was raised from the dead, becoming the firstborn of the new creation. And after teaching his disciples what this resurrection life means, he ascended to heaven where he took his place at the Father's right hand, in preparation for his return to claim his bride, his people, the church, the living stones that make up this new temple. So this holy temple that we're a part of is built on the confession that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the only begotten Son of the living God. And we know this because when Peter famously answers Jesus' question, you know, who do you say I am, Peter? And Peter replies in Matthew 16, verses 16 to 19, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So from the beginning, we have been known as the church. Not just any church, but the church of Jesus Christ. And that means that we belong to him. And we see that he is the one who builds his church. Which is awesome, because I think he's a better builder than I am. And, you know, the word church, which is translated here from the Greek ecclesia, which means a calling out from. And we are known as those called by Jesus to come out of the world and into his kingdom. So together, Jesus is building us together into something that will overcome the evil of this world. We are that army that is rising up to break every chain. That through us, God will work miracles. He will set people free. You know, last week, Tom shared such an insightful look at the temple in all its various forms, you know, from the tabernacle all the way through to Herod's temple. And even though the outer surroundings, you know, they were changed over the years from just being a tent to being a more substantial structure of the temple, even through to Herod's temple, which seemed to glorify Herod more than it glorified God. Underneath all of that, the temple was an example to us. See, the temple and all its setup and all its wonderful different compartments were intended to be a pattern of how things are in heaven. You know how we pray God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Well, the temple was a reflection or a shadow of how things kind of are up there with God and his throne. Because we read in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5 to 6, when Paul tells us that, you know, the priests that serve in that temple, they serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and a shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle. He was warned, see to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. That was when he was with God on the mountain. God gave him what the tabernacle should look like. But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is superior to theirs, as the covenant of which he is a mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. So this pattern that God gave just reinforced the holy distinctiveness of God. It was not a being that could just be approached without consideration of our own position before him. It's why the Gentiles and the women were not allowed even close to the presence of God. If you remember that, you know, there was the Gentile court, which is the very outer edge, and then there's the woman place where the woman could only go so far into the presence of God, and then there's the inner circle where the priests were, and then eventually the Holy of Holies in the middle. And these barriers were there because everyone was under the law of sin, under the curse of the fall. And under the curse, you know, women were made subservient to men. Whereas before the fall, before they ate the fruit that Jane was sort of sharing this morning, they were co-equals and co-workers with men. And under the curse, you know, death had the final word on our lives. You know, from the dust we came and to the dust we return, and that was it. Under the curse, we were made to feel shame and guilt. And to show sin for what it was, God gave his people a way to overcome these barriers of sin so that they could kind of live in a relationship with him through faith. And so he gave them the tabernacle, which was to signify that God dwelt with them. But while he was with them, they would be protected from his holiness by the barriers of the tabernacle. You know, physically, they were just curtains, weren't they? Well, they're just stone walls, bits of wood. But spiritually, those things represented so much more. Isn't it? You know, I think a bit of cloth could protect us from the holy presence of God. Obviously, there's a lot more going on underneath that. And obviously, this morning, you know, they had a pattern for being able to approach God, but we are following a different pattern in the way we do church, aren't we? Did anyone have to sacrifice the calf club lamb to come in this morning? No. The prize bull that they, you know, just so they felt holy enough to come and be in the presence this morning. I know, like Tom showed us last week, temple business was a messy business. Blood, lots of noise, things happening. You know, as you can see, we don't have to separate a separate women's section, do we? No. We even allow Australians to come into our presence this morning, don't we? I know, God is a God of grace and mercy and love and overcomes everything. You see, the temple, just, you know, as with the Old Testament prophets and the ordinary interactions that people had with the holy God, they all pointed to Jesus in a time when God would one day put everything right and set the world on a journey toward redemption and hopefully the eventual renewal of all things. And in Jesus, all these man-made divisions around status, race, gender, locality, all that was suddenly torn down. All those barriers that were set up to protect those who are under the law of sin were torn down. There was a dawning of a new era where the people of God would not be known for where they worshipped, because we would no longer need to go somewhere to get close to God or to his presence. Instead, we have the presence with us in Jesus, Emmanuel, you know, through the Holy Spirit who dwells in the heart of all who would believe in him. That's his promise to us. And so instead of, you know, getting together and going up to the temple maybe once a year or so to give the offerings and, you know, be cleansed and come right with God, the people of God could just go around to Steve's house because the Holy Spirit was already with them. And they could just worship and know that God was with them. And you look through the book of Acts, and that's what happened. They'd get together in people's houses. God would do miracles. Wherever they were on the street, you know, the presence of God would impact people's lives. There was no barrier to what God could do through his people. You know, as a church, we have a vision of a holy community where, you know, here on the southern edge of the wonderful super city of Auckland, that as a, you know, as a holy community, we see that it looks like a group of ordinary people who gather in the name of Jesus to worship him, to lift his name high. He is the center of it all. There's no star of the show other than Jesus. And I think Colossians 1, 13 to 20 captures so well what it means for Jesus to be the center of what we do, the center of our worship. So I just want to read that to you from verse 13. It says, "For he has rescued us," Jesus has rescued us, "from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. It's kind of what Jane was sharing with us this morning, isn't it? It's nothing but the blood of Jesus that gets us to where we are. So the new temple, the church, the bride of Christ, or the body of Christ, whatever you like to call us, you know, has Jesus at its head, has Jesus as its foundation, and has Jesus at its heart. So welcome to the Holy of Holies. You may have walked in here this morning and not even discerned that his presence is with us, but he is here because he promised he would be with us to the very end of the age. And it's by his blood that we're able to be here, isn't it? And come together in peace. Because there's this new pattern in the way that God is building. And the pattern that we are now called to follow is not the pattern of the old temple, but it's the pattern of Jesus Christ. And as we follow Jesus, the invisible God is revealed in our midst. See, one day, you know, when you talk about the temple, when Jesus was in the temple, and he got a bit angry at the moneylenders in the temple. It's quite a famous story. He turns over their tables, and everyone was like, "Whoa, hang on there, buddy. You know, you have no right to do this. What sign can you give us, Jesus, that you have the authority to kick us out and treat us like this?" And in John chapter 2, verse 9, Jesus answers them, said, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it up again in 3 days. And they replied, "Well, it's taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to build it in 3 days? But the temple he had spoken of was his body. And I can see how easily they got confused. You know, he's standing in the middle of the temple, and he says, "Destroy this temple." So, you know, the temple of God is inside Jesus. And it's found in the body of Christ. You know, and those words, "You know, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days," they became really significant in Jesus' life. And obviously, you know, Jesus speaks quite metaphorically sometimes, but you know, those same words were used against him when he was held on trial. And I guess is that those same money lenders that he said that to suddenly thought they had a chance to get even with this Jesus guy. And we read it in Mark 14 as they bring him to the Sanhedrin and they're looking for some way to accuse him. They say that, you know, some stood up and gave this false testimony against him. They said, "When we heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with human hands, in 3 days we'll build another not made with hands.'" And then again, when he's hanging on the cross, you know, his flesh has been ripped from his body by the beating he received, and his face is bloodied and bruised, and he's just there, seemingly helpless. And the same tough guys walk past him and they say, oh, you know, in Matthew 15, those who hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, so, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself. But Jesus didn't mean the actual concrete and blocks, did he? He was speaking metaphorically. He was speaking about his own body. But they misunderstood what he meant. He was trying to tell them that he is the new temple, the new and only way to worship God. Because in the new temple, there would be no barriers. The distinction of the people of God is no longer about race or gender or any outward appearance. Any good works we do, what we give, anything like that. It's about the heart that we have and about where our faith is placed. There's no longer a need to present a sacrifice for our sins other than Jesus. So now through the practice of confession and faith, we can live with the freedom of a clear conscience before God because we are truly free. That's what it means for us to be a holy community. You know, I like Sean Dutoy's illustration when he was talking about holiness. You know, it's not so much a separation where he has to go and hide himself from me because behind the curtain, but it's about a distinctness that we are God's people. And we're a unique community in this world. I know for me, being part of this community has changed my life. It's a bit like Jacob when he came to cross the Jordan on his way home, and he remembered the man who began the journey 20 years before. And he saw God's hand with him this whole time. And I remember coming into church almost 16 years ago, really hurting, my marriage on the rocks, feeling lost, alone, really broken. And it's amazing how God can work in your life. You know, I've been and I continue to be transformed from the inside out just by God's working through me as I'm learning what it means to follow Jesus in my relationship and, you know, what it means to seek first his kingdom in my finances and with my time and to be a good host of his Holy Spirit. And, you know, I'm just trying to learn to listen better when he speaks and being quicker to action what he's leading me to and learning what it is to live just loved as a child of God. And to trust that he loves me regardless. And try and see everyone else in that same way. You know, to be more than my sin and shame would label me. To know that God loves me. You know, I've learned all of this because of you guys. And the way you embody the love of God. And the way you model that Jesus Christ. You know, that seeing it in you helps me to grow. Sees what I need to work on in my life and what I, you know, what needs to gain more priority. And it's really humbling, isn't it, when you're just surrounded by such awesome people that impact your life in such a positive way. And my prayer is that of the Apostle Paul's, you know, says, for that reason, this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Isn't it funny that it's this humble gathering of ordinary people who are filled with such an extraordinary purpose that is God's answer to our broken world? You know, all these pieces, broken and scattered, and mercy gathered, mended and whole. And so take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel, the world to see your love in me. See, the old temple had barriers to keep God's holy presence from destroying the people. And now we have the fullness of his Holy Spirit within us and upon us and around us because of his sacrifice. The laying down of his life to make us all right with God so that we can all, Jew and Gentile, male and female, free and slave, rich or poor, we can all be one in Christ. We can all come into the Holy of Holies and meet with our Creator God because of Jesus. See, in the old temple, one thing that really stood out to me last week was there were so many entrances into the outer courts. You know, anyone could get into the Gentiles through many different ways, into the court of the Gentiles, but as you get closer to the presence, there was only one way you could enter. There was only one way into the holy place. And with Jesus Christ, that's not changed. There's still only one way, and that is through Jesus and placing our faith in him. It's not by works of our hands, but by the precious blood of Jesus. And because there is only one way, we are all equal before God. And we all serve him with all we have and whatever we bring. And whatever we receive from God, it's sufficient because of Jesus Christ. And it's this gathering, this humble gathering that God holds up to Satan as an example of his power to bring everything under the leadership and the kingship of his son. It's an example of his kingdom at work in the world. It's exhibit A of what the new creation will be when we're all one in Jesus and we will live to lift each other up and not bring each other down. Because we are bonded together in this living temple. And you know, when we leave this world, we don't stop being part of it. Because it's a living temple. It goes on, it lasts for eternity. So once you're cemented in, we stay here. We're part of it. We, you know, that cloud of witnesses that surrounds us are all those who have gone before us. They are cheering us on as we carry on in this struggle down here on earth. You know, and you know, our struggles and our trials actually become part of the story of how we got here. It's so cool to know that God loves what's happening here. He watches over us, and he's so jealous for each and every single one here. He's always working in our midst, and I pray that we never lose sight of the fact that he's always here, always working, always moving his kingdom forward, because he wants us to succeed. He is fighting for us. Like, you know, Paul warns the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3:17, he says, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for the God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. I think God's desire for his people to be one is pretty obvious in that statement. And that's what Jesus prayed for his church, isn't it? That you will be one, just as I and the Father are one. As much as we can, we're called to live in peace and to love one another just as he's loved us. And so what we have here today is truly a sacred thing. It's special, it's distinct, it's holy. So different from any other gathering or social activity you'll ever engage in this world. Because in this community, it's the little things that bring us closer together that make a huge difference. You know, those invitations to come and be a part of this abundant life that Jesus is working in each of us makes a difference. Because it's here that we can share our struggles, and it's here that we can find hope. It is here that we can find courage, because it's here that the people of God have gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ. And like Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 19, he says, truly, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about anything that you ask for, it'll be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. You know, it really means something, doesn't it, for us to gather in the name of Jesus. You know, so this morning, just as I close, I just want to offer an opportunity for prayer. Wherever or whatever struggle that you might be going through right now, I want you to know we can stand together with you in the name of Jesus. And we can believe that God is here, that he's a God who hears, he's a God who sees, and he's also a God who responds. And maybe today is the day that you just want to make a commitment for Jesus Christ. You want to accept his offer of salvation and take your place in his holy temple, his living temple, and you want to be a part of that life. I want to make that offer to you this morning as well. If you're willing to make that good confession that Jesus, you are the Christ, you are my Savior, and I need your forgiveness. So if you would like just to stand with me. Right. Let's just bow our heads. Lord, we know you're here. So Lord, thank you for your Spirit, that you can speak to every single person here, that there be no barriers, Lord, between you and us, that our ears would be open to hear you. And if you are here this morning, if you've never made that commitment, that you want to accept Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and as your Savior, you want to live in his freedom, And I give you an opportunity this morning. If you just want to take the simple step, the simple act of faith of raising your hand, and it's just between you and God, you can do that now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the hands raised, Lord God. Thank you that you come into our life with such grace, such loving compassion, such an embrace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that your kingdom grows each day. And for anyone else who's just really struggling and just needs prayer, needs breakthrough, just really invite you to come forward. Just like to invite the worship team, if you guys could just come up as well. Just as we close, you know, if you need prayer, if you want us to stand with you, it's like Jesus said, wherever two or three gather together in my name, there I am with you. We want to agree with you. We want to stand and pray for you in faith and ask God for his will to be done. So you just as we're worshiping, just invite you to come forward, and the ministry team is going to be here to pray with you. Now, Lord, we just thank you for your temple that is your body. Thank you that we're a part of it, Lord God. Thank you that you break every chain that holds us captive and you set us free to be your people. In Jesus' name.
Father of kindness, you have poured out.